Would you stand with me, please? Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What love could remember? No wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they Lord, thank you for your daily mercy, the mercy that woke us up this morning and gave us breath. Thank you for the mercy that covers our despicable sin, Lord. Thank you for bearing with us and raising us up. And thank you for bringing us here this morning, and may the words we sing and speak be an honor unto you, Father. Pray this in Jesus' name. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing, everyone sing, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. And it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing, everyone sing. Together we sing. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I can play and sing at the same time, so that's good. At least I think. Of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. My hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. But I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Amen, amen. Great singing. It was great to hear you. Welcome to Cornerstone Community Church. My name is Matt. I'm your worship leader for today, just for today. Maybe again next month. But it's great to see you here. If you're joining us online, as my family is, hi guys. They're sick, so they couldn't be here. I know that's the case with some others too. So yeah, something's going around. Yay. But it's great to have you here with us online. Kids, if you are third grade and under, you can head downstairs to Children's Church. It would normally be my wife, but not today. Nope. And we do have a question of the day. It is, do you prefer summer or winter? My answer is neither. I'm a fall type of person. Thank you. So talk amongst yourselves. I'll be back in just a minute. We're doing something a little different today. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. It's a different Sunday. Pastor Nate is away on vacation with his family, and a deserved vacation, I might add. So we're happy for that. We're happy that he can take the time off and be with family. And Rick and Phyllis, I think, are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Awesome. I love how they've been an example to my wife and myself. So I'm happy that they're able to celebrate 50 years. So today is a little bit different, and I'm going to try something a little bit different. We're going to have some special music in just a moment, but something that Dr. James mentioned last week kind of stuck in my brain like a pant leg on a cactus. He mentioned that we are pilgrims, and does anybody know what the actual definition of a pilgrim is? Yeah, traveler, yeah. It's a person who is going on a trip to a place of personal or religious significance, okay? So this is not our home. We are passing through, as the song says, and we shouldn't get too comfortable here. But that word gets stuck in my head, and I couldn't get it out, and it made me think of a story, which is the second most popular book in the world. The Bible is number one. Can you guess what number two is? Harry Potter. What did you say? You know? It is The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, which he wrote while he was in jail for preaching without a license. Yeah, let's hope we don't see those days. So what I'd like to do for you, Lord willing, is a little bit of a dramatic reading of part of that story. Not the whole thing, don't worry. I'm not going to wear you out that way. But my father used to read this to me as a child, and it's just stuck with me all through these years. And then it made me think of this one particular scene. Hopefully I don't cry. This is part of the book called Proceeds to the Cross. Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall. And that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty, because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below, in the bottom, a sepulcher. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed off his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble and so continued to do till it came down to the mouth of the sepulcher where it fell in and I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome and said with a merry heart, he hath given me rest by his sorrow and life by his death. Then he stood a while to look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. He looked, therefore, and looked again, even till the springs that were in his head sent the waters down his cheeks. Now as he stood looking and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him and saluted him with, "Peace be to thee." So the first said to him, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." The second stripped him of his rags and clothed him with a change of raiment. The third also set a mark on his forehead and gave him a roll with a seal upon it, which he had bade him to look at as he ran, and that he should give it in at the celestial gate. So they went their way. Then Christian gave three leaps for joy and went on singing, "Thus far I did come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulcher, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me." Amen.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon a tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And now I am happy all the day. And now I am happy all the day.
Now it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. James, who will have our message from the Word today. Dr. James, come on up.
Beautiful. It may not be your, good morning.
Good morning.
It may not be your tradition, but he did a wonderful job. Can we just give him an earthly hand of praise? That was absolutely beautiful, beautiful. And I haven't heard a reading from the Pilgrims for such a long time. Thank you for stirring that back up in my heart. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Wow, that sucked. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
There we go. We are in the house of the Lord, right? And the joy should come from us. Amen. Let them hear that we are so happy just to have another breath to say good morning to our loved ones. And all right, so let's try one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, and let's say hello to Pastor Nate, you know, because he's going to be watching. Come on, one, two, three. All right, God. Oh, it is such a joy to be here. And I hope that you are just basking in the Lord. It was supposed to be raining today. And so now, you know, the sun is out, and that is just so beautiful. Yesterday we had in our community yard sale during the morning, and it rained. And it was supposed to be from 8 to 1. And it rained up until 1 o'clock. We packed up, and what? The sun came out. Amen? Amen. So count it all as joy. Count it all as joy. So thank you so much for having me here. Again, I so enjoyed myself last week, and I hope the Lord moved in some particular way to give you something to keep you to this particular point. I do want to thank, again, my friend Pastor Nate for asking me to be here with you. I had such a wonderful time last week, and I hope that the Spirit of the Lord moves today. As we prepare to receive God's Spirit, let us open up our hearts, let us clear our minds, and let us place ourselves in His holy presence. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of Thy tone. As Thou hast sought, so let me seek Thy erring children lost and alone. O lead me, Lord, that I may lead the wandering and the wavering feet. O feed me, Lord, that I may feed Thy hungry ones with manners sweet. O teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things Thou would impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of many hearts. Amen. My beloved, as we move into the message this morning, will you consider with me a very, 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 very familiar passage to you. Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse. Now, I don't want you to turn to it. I just want you to listen to it, okay? Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse. When you get home, you can read it then. I'm going to be reading from the New Century Version of the Bible, in which I told you last week. The New Century Version is the International Children's Bible, just for adults, all right? So it's going to sound a little different. That's why I want you to listen versus reading it, because it'd be different. So Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse, reads as this, New Century Version. At that time, the followers came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him and stood the child before the followers. And then he said, "I tell you the truth, you must change and become like little children. Otherwise, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The greatest person in the kingdom of heaven is like the one who makes himself humble like this child." The word of God for the people of God. May it feed God's sheep. Beloved, Jesus' closest friends, his disciples, has asked him a question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And upon hearing this question, I can only imagine Jesus saying, that's a good question. But instead of some highly obscure answer or some parable, Jesus picks a particular child out of the crowd and says, "You must be like this child." My friends, have you ever asked yourself a question? Why me, Lord? Why me, Jesus? Well, friends, why did Jesus pick that child? Over the course of the next few minutes, will you meditate with me on several questions? Why did Jesus, out of all the people in the crowd, pick that particular child to serve as an example? What did Jesus see in him or her to call the child to him and show that child to the crowd as an example of a believer. What did Jesus recognize in that child that he knew that that child believed in him with all of his or her heart? And my question for you, by way of the Holy Spirit, if Jesus had to pick someone out of the crowd to serve as an example of a believer, to make the crowd understood what it meant to be great in the kingdom of heaven, would he pick you? Will you consider with me, just for a brief time, on the theme, the unknown child? But this sermon is entitled, Ooh, Ooh, Pick Me. Let us pray. Dear merciful God, we come now to say thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be in your house one more time. We thank you for the word, Father. We thank you for allowing us the opportunity to hear the word. We thank you for the phenomenal worship leader today. We thank you for the worship moment today, the songs that were picked. We thank you for the dramatic reading. Now, Father, as we enter into a time to reflect in your word, Father, may something be instilled in the hearts of all those who call themselves believers, so as they leave this place, they do something to uplift your kingdom. But if there's one, Father, who does not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of their sins, move by way of them, Father, in the Holy Spirit, that something in this message would be said, that they would say, here I am, Lord, pick me. And Father, if there's one in this sanctuary or online who's been away from the body of God, they're already saved, but just needs to make their way back to church, moving them by way of the Holy Spirit to bring them home. In your name we do pray. Amen. And Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. In our text today, I want us to do something that is different. I want us to focus in not on Jesus, but I want us to focus in the text on what Jesus focused in the text. He focused in on an unknown child. Jesus shows us something very important in this passage. Just like the world today, the world is not focusing in on Jesus. The world is focusing in on things in the world. What do you mean by that, Reverend James? Well, my friends, I mean that people are not looking for examples of Jesus in the world, right? And they're not looking for Jesus in the world. People are looking for signs of heaven in the world, but they are not looking to get into heaven while they're in the world. And when confronted with a direct question about something spiritual, in this case, who is the greatest in heaven? Jesus does not speak about something that is in heaven, something that people cannot see. He answers the spiritual question by giving them an example of what they can see, something that is right there in front of them every single day, something that is tangible, something that is real. He gives them the example of a child. My brothers and sisters, followers, believers, the world is looking for you to be the answer for things that they cannot see. If you call yourself a Christian, the world wants you to be the answer to their questions about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit in heaven. The world is looking at Christians like you for the answers about faith and hope and belief and forgiveness and love and trust and patience. If we call ourselves believers, then we are an example. The question is, what type of examples do we want to become? And I say become because out of the crowd, Jesus picked a child that will become an adult Christian. Jesus picked someone at the beginning of their journey, not the end. So the example that should show us is that wherever we are in our walk with Jesus, there's always room for us to grow and to change and to be something better and different. Now, in case you miss it, I did not say what type of Christian that you are now. I'll repeat it. But our question is, what type of Christian are you becoming? Don't believe me? Let's examine the text. In our text today, what you need to know is that the followers of Jesus were trying very hard to get ahead of themselves. Jesus was trying to get them ready to do their earthly work right here and now, but they've already thinking and worrying about issues in heaven. Now, if you haven't been reading your Bible and coming to Bible study, come on, all right? I'll put that in the procrastinate. Jesus, with grace and long-suffering, has been answering questions for them previously about heaven. Like, where is heaven, and who can sit on the right side, on his right-hand side in heaven, and what is heaven going to be, going to be like? And now he's dealing with a question about who is the greatest in heaven. Have you ever had a child, for those of you, right, who has gotten ahead of themselves? I mean, they're already accepting their most valuable player award, and they can't even throw the ball yet. Hey, that's my son, right? And you say, slow down. You're not Reggie Jackson yet, right? There's steps to take in order to get there. But the believers, his disciples, were already worried about things way ahead of them and not dealing with what was here and now. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus does not avoid the question, does he? But what he does is he surveys the crowd, and his eyes come to rest upon an unknown child. Now, let me point out something to you, right? In the text, it does not give the age. It doesn't give the race. It doesn't give the gender. It doesn't give the social economic status. We don't even know if the unknown child is a Jew or a Christian. So what does this tell us? Now think about it. All that other stuff at that particular point did not matter to Jesus. What Jesus saw in that child was a humble heart and a true belief. What Jesus saw was a true believer. Someone who was not there for the free food handout. Someone who was not there to be healed. And wait, I don't want you to miss this, right? Let's assume that this is a crowd that had gathered of believers. And the child's mother and father, for some reason, had decided to bring the child to the crowd to see Jesus. Now, we have to think, the parents must have knew who Jesus was, and maybe they've heard about Jesus, and maybe they were even followers of Jesus. Now, stay with me. Shouldn't there have been something in those adults when Jesus was surveying the crowd that when he looked at their hearts, their minds, and their willingness to serve, that might have caused Jesus to stop and say, parents, you come here. But Jesus didn't pick the parents, did he? He didn't pick the adults. And our text says he called a child to him and stood the child, meaning Jesus purposely took this child, put him or her in front of a crowd, and said, if you want to be great in heaven, then you must humble yourself like this child right now. And he just didn't pick any child. If you read the text, it says, this child. Pilgrims, don't you ever think, that Jesus does anything randomly? There probably were other children in that crowd. There were other adults. There were the child's parents. But the child, Jesus called that child to do his purpose. My friends, know this, that just like that child, if Jesus hasn't done it yet, he will call you to do something for his purpose. There is something, there was something in that little one that wasn't just humble before the world, but it was also humble in them before Jesus. And what Jesus saw is the same thing that he's going to be looking for when we get into heaven. What was it that if Jesus was looking for greatness on earth to give it as an example of being great in heaven, that he would pick that child? It must have been an honor to be pointed out by Jesus himself, to be looked at now to represent the greatness in heaven later. If Jesus was looking for an example in the world, my friends, I don't know if he would pick me. And I have to be honest, right? And that's what I want you to ask yourself today. What is it in your life that would cause Jesus not to pick you? See, a child has hope, and hope leads to belief. And once a child believes in something, they will put their faith in it with everything they have. Jesus saw in that child true, uncorrupted, untainted, unmanipulated hope, belief, and faith. How about you? The story is told about a classroom art teacher who gave an assignment. The assignment was to draw anything that you liked. And happily, the children scattered and began engaging in their assignment. And from her desk, she looked up and she noticed one little girl who just seemed happier than all the rest as she worked on her project. However, every now and then, the little girl got this extremely serious look on her face. And so the teacher got up and headed over to take a look. And as she approached the little girl carefully covered up her picture. And the teacher said, "Gladys, what are you working on?" And Gladys said, "A drawing," proudly and with joy. The teacher said, well, I know that, but what are you drawing? And Gladys said, "A picture of God." And she said it with enthusiasm. And the teacher smiled and said, "How wonderful, Gladys. But sweetheart, no one knows what God looks like." And Gladys put down her crayon and she thought about it just for a second. And then she turned to the teacher with the biggest smile on her face and said, "Yeah, but they will in a minute." It's that excitement about bringing the gospel to the world. It's that excitement that we have to have as children of God. That if you don't know what God looks like, let me show you. We need to have an attitude of victory. We need to have an attitude and a demeanor of positivity. We need to have a triumphant spirit that whatever we walk through in the world, we know that Christ is going to be there with us if we just listen to the Holy Ghost and follow God. I don't know what God looks like, but I know what his word says. It's not wearing a big old cross on your shirt. It's not carrying a big old Bible. But it's our disposition that we have that we know Jesus. And that's what Jesus must have saw in that child. A look that, "I recognize you, Jesus. I know who you are. I'm not here but anything else just to be in your presence." God tells us in his word, and I have to ask by way of the Holy Spirit today to tell you and remind you that you are the light of the world. So if Jesus needs to show the world what a good Christian looks like, I need everyone under the sound of my voice today to be like that very enthusiastic first grader, that when the teacher asks a question, they raise their hand and they say, "Ooh, ooh, 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 pick me."
Ooh, pick me, Jesus, if you need an example to show the fruits of the Spirit. Ooh, pick me if you need a living and walking testament of the Good Samaritan. Ooh, pick me. My brothers and my sisters, I need to remind you that Jesus, by way of the Holy Spirit, is surveying the crowd every single day, looking for someone to bring before the crowd and say that this is the example of greatness on earth that will be shown in heaven. An old preacher tells a story about two little girls who are playing, and they're counting their pennies. And the first little girl says, "I have 5 pennies. And the second little girl says, "Well, I have 10 pennies. And the first little girl reaches over and she counts the second little girl's penny and says, "No, you have 5 pennies just the same as I." But the second little girl quickly responds, "But when my father left the house this morning, he said when he gets back, he's going to give me 5 cents. So I have 10 pennies. Oh, you missed it. See, there's a promise by God that he's going to bless you. He's going to give you something more than you've got now. So you've got to count the blessing as already been yours. You've got to have the enthusiasm to count that the rainy days may come now, but the sun is going to shine because there is a promise. I may not have everything I want now, but the Lord has given me what I need right now. And as long as I have his joy, his love, and his happiness, and I can see Jesus, then everything is all right." The child wanted nothing but to hear the promise of Jesus. But Jesus saw in that child the promise of heaven. And my brothers and my sisters, he set an example for us to say that heaven can be yours if you humble yourself, if you have faith of a child, a faith that leads to belief, and belief believes in everything we have with our heart, our minds, and our souls, and believing in Jesus. He's promised that one day heaven can be yours. And if you don't know Jesus in the free pardon of your sins, we offer salvation to you today. We give you an opportunity to let Jesus lay his eyes on you. He's calling you. My friends, I don't know about you, but I need to reinvigorate my enthusiasm. In the worst of times, I'm not always the first one to step up and say, "Ooh, use me as an example." How about you? As you leave here today, somebody is going to be looking for heaven in our community. Let them see heaven in you. So let's try it. Everybody raise your hand, kind of wave it back and forth. Come on, like with enthusiasm, and say, "Ooh, pick me." Amen. God bless you.
You can stand or sit or whatever you find comfortable. I'm going to sit myself. Thank you, Dr. James, for that word. And as we go forth from this place with that challenge on us, let's remember God's grace that carries us through, allows us to do everything that he just mentioned. Thank you.
which God supplies strength unknown. He will provide Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace, is only by His grace. Stone, we will go forth in grace alone. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone.
Shannon, you can come on up. Probably want to use that mic.
Good morning. Just a couple things. Not yet in your bulletin, but coming up are the brunch that I had announced a couple weeks ago. Just keep that in mind. That'll be Sunday right after church on July 23rd. And then in August, we have Kutztown Day on the 6th, and Cornerstone and Oasis will be having a stand in the park. So if eventually there'll be volunteer signups that go out, you man the booth and just welcome the community and play cornhole with them if you'd like. And those are two things we have coming up. So other than that, I hope you enjoy your day. Stay cool. And there's snack and fellowship downstairs. The Herlins will be back next week, so we can also be looking forward to that. All right, have a good one.